Amen. Well, welcome this morning. I want to just bless each and every one of you, especially those of you that are visiting us and might be friends of family that lives here. You were in town for the weekend. I see some faces. How are you guys? Thanks for being here. I mean, we love what we do. I love what we do. I love this time. I love this opportunity. We're in a different season. Some of you are here looking for Hope Chapel. Some of you are here looking for Valley Christian. And what you find is Echo Hills. Amen? And so it's a new season, and we've got new adventures ahead of us. And so one of the things that I felt during worship that we're going to go after this morning a little bit in the Word. Oh, yes, thank you. Do you have the announcements? Do you guys really want the announcements? Let's try the announcements.
Hey, 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 good morning, Echo Hills Church. We are so beyond blessed to see all of your lovely faces this morning. All right, let's get into announcements. We have a few here for you. Make sure to join us for Shifting Atmospheres on Wednesday, December 4th at 1 p.m. in the healing rooms at Echo Hills Church. Our week for Family Promise is December 22nd through the 28th. Please sign up in the foyer to provide meals. If any of you adults in the room are looking for a way to grow in your faith, make sure to get connected with Echo Life and join us on Sundays at 9 a.m. in the children's wing. If you are looking for a way to experience the peace of God through equipping, join Lou Fife for Shiloh on Mondays at 9:30 a.m. Anyone needs prayer, make sure to stop by Frontline Ministry Sundays after service. They are always here with open arms. For all you folks that prefer giving online, Echo Hills Church has made that possible. Go to www.echohillschurch.com and click on the gray icon as seen in the bottom right corner. And this week we're praying for Reverend Peggy of Grace Lutheran Church and Daryl and Sandy of Family Circle, who are currently in the Philippines. And now we have a funny video to show you to remind you what Christmas is really about.
Hey, Ed. Come check out my North Star Christmas tree topper. It levitates.
Is this a gummy bear?
Yeah, we lost baby Jesus. Hey, check out these LED lights. I have them synced up to a 76-hour all Christmas music playlist.
There's my little Christmas DJ. Ow.
So, are you waiting till Christmas is over so you can go buy a new nativity set when they're on sale?
Huh? No, oh no. We lost baby Jesus like 11 years ago.
Is baby Jesus always a gummy bear?
No. We trade it out every year. Yeah, like last year it was a tiny troll doll. And the year before that we used a dog treat. They were the perfect size, but Dalton kept taking them and eating them.
You mean your dog kept stealing them?
No, my son Dalton. He loves those dog treats. Especially the peanut butter ones. There was one year that we used a doll head. That was creepy. We made a modeling clay baby Jesus. So the dog took that one too. One year we got desperate and used an ice cube. That was a miss and a mess. Yeah, just seems like everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts.
Say that again.
Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last.
And
what?
Say it again, slowly.
Why?
Just do it, Dulcimo. Slowly, do it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Just do it.
This is getting weird.
Say it!
Fine. But when I'm done saying this, you're going to march in here and you're going to watch my star levitate.
I'm fine. Do it.
Fine. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to... Oh, yep, there it is. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hopefully that was a funny way to remind you the true meaning behind Christmas. Let's have a rockin' awesome Sunday, everyone.
Amen. We definitely didn't want to miss that, did we? No, come on. So picking up where I was, one of the things I felt during worship this morning, you can check out your bulletins. There's announcements in it and they're reiterated, in the bulletin from the screen, but, is recognizing the value of what comes out of surrenderance. So it's not that we just surrender, right? It's not that we just go, oh Lord, I surrender. Beautiful posture, right? And again, if that's all you can give him today, if that's all that you can muster up in your faith of just going, Lord, here I am, I surrender, praise God. He doesn't ever look down upon that. But some of us have been in that posture way too long. Some of us have said that over and over and over again. Lord, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. And God bless you. God bless me that I can come to this place and go, Lord, I surrender. But now he's looking to you and I and going, let me use your surrenderance. Let me show you what a life of surrenderance really looks like. Have you ever conceived or thought of what God could do with your life through surrenderance? Oftentimes we come into this position of surrenderance because we're in need, we're desperate, we're broken, there's deep wounds, there's heartache. One of the things that I walked in this morning, I turned my notes in on Tuesday because of the holiday and the office was closed and all of that. So we're on a rotation. Pastor Mike preached last week an incredible message on freedom. You heard that message in the worship. But I turned my notes in on Tuesday so I could kind of have some free time with my family. And man, that just is never good for me because then I spend the next few days rehearsing my message and message over and over, realizing, oh, I just got delivered. What's next, Lord? And so I walked in this morning going, I'm delivered from my own message. And so, Darren, here's some changes I'm going to make to my notes, and I'm just going to scratch where I've been. It was a great message, but we're going in a different direction this morning. One day it'll come out, and you'll receive it too. But I believe that it all ties in, and I'm just going to help you walk through some things. I walked in knowing that, Lord, I want my life to look different than it's ever looked before. Really, I mean, we're talking about freedom. I've been going after, if you've been with us, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It has the ability to separate and cut between the bone and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. It can separate the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here we are surrendered in this posture. Here we are starting a new month. Here we are coming to the end of the year. Here we are in this posture of recognizing, Lord, I surrender. And yet unto what? Unto a confession that God is good? I mean, I love when Josh gets up because Josh is guaranteed to give us a good laugh because he's seen the Lord and he's seen his joy. Veronica leading worship. We're guaranteed an opportunity to come into an incredible posture of reflection. It's beautiful. Gathering with many of you week in and week out that we call family and friends, seeing familiar faces that we haven't seen in a long time, it provokes, as Josh is saying, a memory. There are some memories we need to find freedom from. There are some things in our past that God wants to absolutely rip out of our lives, rip out of our soul, and replant something, place something different. And can I just say this? I'm contending that his planting is absolutely got to be love. It's got to be love. And so I just want to invite the Pelletier family up to come on up right now. If we could grab that microphone. If you don't know the Pelletier family, welcome the Pelletier family. This is Jennifer and Sean. I don't know if the three kids are involved in this or they're just...
come up here.
Oh, well, you guys
can
come on up.
Come up and you can just say, this is our oldest. This is Emma and Judah and then Malachi. So,
So here's a family that wants to see God differently. Mm-hmm. Here's a family that understands that we have to think differently and do things differently if we're going to see things differently. Amen. So they're going to just take a few moments and just share with us and provoke us to consider that life might be different if we just did things differently. Amen.
Amen. Well, I just actually wanted to introduce my husband. If you had not met him before, this is my amazing husband, Sean. And he actually, he lives his life with love. He has an overflow of love, and he loves people incredibly well. And when I was thinking about, about today, and just knowing that we're closing out 2019 and beginning a new month, I really felt like this is what I'm going to release to you, is that we're supposed to go after having encounters and experiences with Jesus. When we serve the Lord, it is always meant for encounters and experiences. Us personally, but also the joy of serving the Lord is that we get to lead others into encounters and experiences with Jesus. That it meant to, when the scripture says in Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good, that literally we are to have experiences that the Lord is good. And I felt like, too, that we need to be incredible people that proclaim and declare the goodness of our God, of His majesty, how glorious our King is. And so I'm actually going to pass to this man who leads people into encounters with the Lord.
Well, God is good. Amen. Amen. You guys look good. So this beginning of this week, I had this pretty dull headlamp that was broken and had to tape it up and stuff. Well, this guy's like, I got this brand new one. You want it? I'm like, well, it'd be, I mean, it's nice. So I totally got upgraded to like this dull headlamp to this LED light that was super bright, hiked up into his attic and did some stuff. And so during worship, I just felt the Lord wants to upgrade all of us. Okay, we have the Creator God within us, and that you guys illuminate wherever you go. Winco, your living room, you know, the mall, wherever. It's like you're an LED flashlight times like thousands. So this cool testimony just a couple weeks ago, I was with my sister-in-law and my brother, and we're at the gym, and she is hurting. She can't even like walk across the room. So she came there just to hang out with me and brought my little nephew, and she has this terrible groin accident. And so we climbed the rest of that night, and then at the end, I was like, Michelle, she's a new believer in, within like a handful of years. She's a doctor. She's in the medical field. And so I was like, oh, Lord, this would be good. So super simple prayer. It was just like, Lord, right there in the middle of the gym, I was like, Lord, I just declare all pain to go, this groin to be healed, and for her to, she loves to run, for her to do the things she wants to do. Well, I got this text the next day, and she goes, hey, brother, exclamation times like four. I want you to know that since you prayed over my leg, I have no pain. An answer to prayer. Great seeing you. And I was just like, oh, amen. I text her back. I was like, that is so good. So the scripture I've been sitting on is in Psalms 119, 111. It's the longest Psalms in our awesome book of God's love story to us. But it says, your testimony I have taken as a heritage forever. That's from Genesis to Revelation that is yet to come. So another day, just a week after that, I'm working at this lady's cabin, and I've yet to meet him. It's all been through text for like 3 weeks working there. And I finally met him the other day. Super sweet couple, but she was sick over the phone, and I was like, hey, Debbie, can I just pray for you? She's like, oh, I love it. So I prayed for her. Another super simple prayer. I mean, Jesus didn't say, hey, in my name, be healed. He just said, get up. And so it's like, oh, Lord, I just pray that you just heal Debbie, all sinus, whatever gunk, go. She texts me the next day, totally healed. Thanks for your prayers. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. So I'm excited. Yes, amen. With all that, there's actually another one. Just beginning of this week, I'm working with this guy on his house, and he's like, you know, my wife has eating issues. And I was like, you know, Lord, she needs to taste flavor. You know, she can't just have just bland stuff. And he's like, I believe. I mean, we sing about it, right? You're the wave maker, miracle worker. I stand in awe and wonder. I mean, we have to believe this and like take it to the streets. There are so many people. So I prayed with him. So I'm believing this week he's going to like be trying new food. And so, Lord, I just want to bless you guys. So you guys just receive, Father, that there are testimonies all around us right now. And there's going to be a lineup here every week of people releasing testimony, Father, because you are in our midst and you are all about healing people, setting them free. Father, seeing your glory here on earth as it is in heaven. So Lord, right now, I just pray great boldness. I pray that God's gonna upgrade every one of us to those LEDs times a thousand forevers lights, Lord, that we are just gonna be brighter than ever. We're gonna take risks and we're gonna see your glory here on earth, because that is our heritage from Genesis to Revelations and for all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Pelletier family. So what a just a little window into a family that has said, Lord, we surrender. The value of testimony is paramount in our faith. And if you don't have the testimony, steal it from someone else. If they've got it, take it. There's nothing off limits when it comes to the testimony of God's goodness. So if you're here today and you want the experience of being healed, receive it right now. Lord, Michelle, the sister-in-law, was healed because Sean prayed. Sean doesn't need to lay hands on you in order for you to receive your healing. Now, he will more than gladly do that. There's a prayer team available after service to do that. But what if right now you just said, thank you, Lord, for my healing, and then you checked yourself and you realized you were healed? Just do it. Lord, thank you right now for my healing. How many of you struggle to think, well, should I check my healing? See, what if I told you right now $10,000 just got deposited into your account? I guarantee you each and every one of you would get on your phone, open your bank app, and look at it, right? Or you'd get up, head to the ATM, do the little receipt thing. Take it all out, right? Withdraw it. Listen, each and every one of us, because of the goodness of God, the grace of God, the working power of God, have access to all of his goodness. It's healing, it's provision, it's breakthrough. But it requires us to think differently. It requires us to consider things differently. It requires us to come back and recognize that you and I have a choice in how we're going to respond to situations. Last couple weeks ago, I gave you this picture. If you weren't with us, you can go listen to the message. I'm not going to get into it, but I want you to visualize this picture again. I'm going to keep this before us in the next couple weeks and probably after the holidays. But the way this little chart works is that you have a situation, and it passes through the intent of our heart. It passes through the desire of our heart. It passes through the motive. So Hebrews 4:12, where we've been. And out pops a choice. We're looking at December. December 1st, we have a whole month ahead of us. Just for a minute, entertain the thoughts of December. We've got Christmas. We've got busyness. We've got shopping. We've got family. We've got preparations. We've got travel arrangements. We might have depression. We might have despair. We might have sorrow. We might have broken families. There's a whole gamut of reality just in this month. And this month is different than every other month of the year. And for a lot of reasons. One, because it's packed with activities that we feel obligated to be a part of, that society pushes upon us, that materialism is beckoning us to respond with, that the church is pressing on us. And remember who Jesus is. Remember to decorate your house. Remember the lights, you know, and then you add, you know, if you follow the biblical feast, you got Hanukkah. Let's focus on Hanukkah. You know, you've got all this activity. You've got, if you're self-employed, like my family is, Jacqueline and I in our business, if you don't work, you don't get paid. So December is a really hard month for us because the schools take time off, 2 weeks off. We have a business that works in the school district, so that's 2 weeks of no pay. Now we plan for it, we save for it, but come January, we're now feeling the reality. If you're self-employed and you take a few days off for the holidays, there's a hit. Some of you work in the retail industry, and the busyness of the month, the grumpiness of people, the persistence of, hey, I want this, I need this, I want it this way, I like it this way. The reality of all the issues that are going on in life filter through the intent and thoughts, and out pops this choice. And we can live in a victim mentality where we start to ignore, we start to suppress, we start to not deny, we start to blame, we start to rationalize. A few weeks ago, I told you that rationalization is always from the perspective of how do I benefit? Anytime we begin to rationalize a situation, I guarantee you there will be a self-serving bias that begins to surface if you really look for it. What I mean by that, and the example I continue to use, is that when the cop pulls you over for speeding, your immediate response is, it wasn't my intention to speed. Where were you when that other guy passed me? Or where were you last week when I saw the guy doing 50 and a 25? We're rationalizing our posture and position because we're judging ourselves based on our intentions and not our actions. And what we do to others is we judge them based on their actions and not their intentions because we don't have enough grace to give them the benefit of the doubt. A truly surrendered heart recognizes the power of God's grace and mercy in our life, and that all that we've received is freely available for everybody else. But a victim mentality is going to come and get stuck in this pattern where we hide stuff and resist addressing the truth. The opposite of that would be someone who lives victoriously. Someone who lives with a mindset that, Lord, I'm willing to recognize what you're doing right here and right now. I'm willing to recognize that, Lord, there's an opportunity in this posture of surrenderance, in this posture of looking at December. Do you realize that you can be a giver but not be generous? Listen, my kids, when they were young, they're teenagers now, when they were young, they gave, but they were not generous. And they gave because I commanded them to give. Hey, listen, you need to give me that knife. No, I'm just kidding. We never let them run with knives. You need to give your sister that toy back. You need to share the crayons. They would give because we commanded, but we've taught them to be generous, meaning when nobody's asking, you see a need and you meet it. How many of you have ever stopped and you've seen the little bell ringers with the Salvation Army red buckets and you drop some change in? Praise God. It's a beautiful gesture and it actually does a lot of good the way they raise money. I challenge you, because this is my own challenge this year, to consider putting some money in the bucket, being generous if you have change, but thank the bell ringer standing out in the cold. Thank the individual that sees watching over that bucket, and they do it with a smile most often. Sometimes you hit them on that eighth hour when they're just cold and they want to go home. But to actually acknowledge them, stop and look in their eyes and say, thank you for ringing that bell. Thank you for giving of your time. Because I guarantee you, the minute that you stop and you recognize a human being in a gesture of gratitude, there will be a conviction in your own heart that the Holy Spirit goes, and what are you doing? Because see, putting in the money in the bucket, that's an easy thing. That's an easy gesture of just going, oh, there you go. There's some money. It goes towards meals. Salvation Army is a great ministry. But actually connecting with people, connecting with others who are giving of their time, being generous. And maybe they're not out there with the spirit of generosity. They're out there because they've got nothing else to do and they get a free meal from Salvation Army. And so they signed up on the volunteer sheet. You know, their motive and their reason, we don't have to know or judge. But connecting with people. That cash register, that cashier, the agent at the Walmart that did the Black Friday stint and now is into the holiday mix, maybe use their name when you're paying. Maybe stop and just go, thank you, Jeanette. And watch their surprise. Because I've caught men and women who don't realize they exist or that you even can read their name tag. Like, what? Yeah, Matt, did you have a good weekend? Do you have plans for the weekend? Now, I realize that there are people out there that'll stand in line behind you that will mumble under their breath, is this going to take all day? Are you going to ask them about their grandkids? It's true, right? Because they're in a rush. They're in a hurry. There's something about surrendering our life that all of a sudden reorders time. And this accountability loop begins to get us to see things differently where we own our actions. We own our desires. We own what God is trying to do in us and through us. We begin to forgive where forgiveness needs to flow. We begin to recognize that the self-examination in this chart is really just another baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, baptize me. Remind me again of who I am. Remind me again of what you want to do in my life. Remind me of how to think differently and see things differently. So that we can then get into a posture of learning, of self-discovery where, what's it like to take a step of faith and pray for an in-law? What's it like to reach out and be in such a manner where I can receive? Some of you might think like a little headlamp isn't a big deal, but to Sean, it's a big deal because he's learned how to steward the generosity and the grace of others. Some of you this season would be wise to navigate and separate and look at, my thoughts are, I want to be a good giver. I want to get so many gifts for X amount of people. Well, what if you removed the thought of giving and really started to focus on the motivation, the generosity, so that it's not busy work. It's not filled with anxiety. It's not constantly watching the pocketbook, but it's stewarded in such a manner that in generosity, joy bubbles up. Joy is released. The excitement of rather than spending $100, what if you spent $25? Because the value isn't in the money, it's in the generosity. What if we began to recognize that in this accountability that you and I are called to walk in with the Spirit, that all of a sudden we would be a people who start to take greater action. That is, Sean and the Pelletier family was testifying, I'm not just praying for people in church, I'm going to pray for people outside the church. I'm going to stop and look at somebody and thank them. I'm going to bend over and pick up that trash that's rolling through the parking lot. I'm going to stop and see the old lady that's trying to push her cart back to the little station and it's cold out. I can grab that cart and easily push it back for her. Does it cost me something? Yes, it's time. But if you and I think of time in the terms of eternity, then we have a whole lot of time. If you and I begin to recognize that our posture of surrenderance isn't for us just to sit here and go, Lord, I'm surrendered, thank you. But it's actually to get up and now go do something. Then all of a sudden, things start to look differently. Things start to begin to feel differently. This idea of the intent of our heart, again, requires an active intentionality to go, Lord, show me the truth. Show me the truth. So there's a story. You can put up Romans chapter 12. This, if you have a Bible, open up to this verse. This is considered a proverb, but it's about a businessman and a fisherman. And this fisherman is sitting on the side of the beach off to the side under a shade tree, and he's got his basket of fish, and he's just relaxing. And this businessman walks up to him and looks at him and says, oh, how was the fishing today? And the fisherman says, it was great. I caught all I needed. And the businessman looks at him and says, well, it's really early in the morning. How come you're not still out there catching more fish? Fisherman, I don't need any more fish. This is enough to take care of me and my family. And the businessman is, oh, but you could be out there catching any, you know, you got so much more time, you can catch so much more fish. And the fisherman is like, well, then what's my reward? Well, if you catch more fish, you could then not just provide for your family, but you could go sell the fish. And the fisherman's like, and then what would my reward be? The businessman is like, well, then you could make more money. Then you could buy a bigger boat and catch even more fish. And the fisherman is like, well, then what would my reward be? Well, then you can employ people. You could start a small business. You could have many ships out there catching fish all day. Well, then what would my reward be? Well, after 15 to 20 years, you could have a whole fleet. You could hire managers and supervisors to oversee the whole fishing industry. Says the fisherman. Then what would my reward be? And the businessman, now irritated because the fisherman just doesn't seem to get it. You could then relax and let everybody else do the work for you. And the fisherman looks at him and goes, I'm already relaxing. There's a perspective when it comes to the way we see life. And some of us are so ingrained with this thought of we've got to work, work, work. When really God wants to teach you how to provide for your family and how he will multiply that provision to bless others. Is there anything wrong with being like a businessman, entrepreneurial, multiplication? Absolutely not. But at what cost? At what cost? This verse in Romans gives us some insight in how to consider the month of December, how to consider our life, how to posture ourselves in such a manner that we get deliverance. And there's a few words that I want to just point out to you this morning in preparation of our communion time. But the Apostle Paul here is talking to the born-again believers in Rome. And he's brought us to this point that many of you are familiar with, but I want you to think again. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. So who is he talking to? Us, born-again believers who understand Jesus the Savior. He says, in view of God's mercy, stop for a minute and just think of that. When you make your decisions, when you make your choices, in what view, in what perspective are you making those choices? Because if it's not in the mercies of God, chances are it's not going to carry the fruit and the grace of God. But if it's in view of selfishness, if it's in view of work and the nature of accumulating, as Pastor Mike was talking about last year, last week, you know, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Are we storing up treasures on earth or in heaven? Because listen, if you store up treasures on earth, you can't take it with you. But in view of God's mercy, in the revelation of God's mercy, if we don't get this part, then the rest of it doesn't make any sense to us. So just stop for a moment with the perspective of December right in front of each and every one of us. Where do you need God's mercy the most? Knowing that we're coming into this month, knowing that we've got 30 days, 30, 31, how many days are in December? 31 days, 30 more days. There's history, there's challenges, there's family, there's all those things we've rattled off. In view of God's mercy, how can this month be different than it's been before? Maybe ever. What can you and I do differently? What thoughts and intents of our heart does God need to separate and bring judgment on so that we are transformed and changed? Because it goes on to say, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, this is radically different than anything the Old Testament offered. Because the Old Testament was all about dead sacrifices. The Old Testament was all about sacrifices that were killed and slaughtered. The blood was spilled to atone. But now he's talking about a living sacrifice. Offer yourself, your bodies, as a living sacrifice. What type of sacrifice? A sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. So this posture of I surrender is beautiful. Lord, I surrender. I'm offering myself as a sacrifice. But is it a dead sacrifice or a living sacrifice? And the difference is movement. Because a dead sacrifice doesn't get up and begin to move. But a living sacrifice will get up and it will meet that greeter at the door and make eye contact and say thank you. That living sacrifice will get up and it'll look at shopping totally different than it's ever looked at it before. That living sacrifice is going to see God in such a manner that his mercies are good each and every day. And that if there is a need for a miracle, our miracle working God has a provision. If there's a need for a healing, there's a healing God that has a way. If there's a breakthrough, a deliverance necessary, God is our deliverer and our breakthrough. Because of the view that we have of God. See, how we view God will affect how we let him lead us. How we view God will affect how we let him lead us. If you don't trust God, then you're not going to take his hand and walk through the storm. If you don't trust God, you're not going to let him help you steward your finances, to give you self-control, to deal with the compulsion to buy and spend, to hoard and you know, there's a difference between being a cheapskate and then being practical. There's a difference between being cheap and being a steward. You can have some of the greatest things and steward your finances and not be considered a cheapskate. There's this posture of living holy and pleasing to God as an expression of proper worship. That word proper there is interesting. It would lead us to understand that there's an improper way of worship, right? There are potential expressions of worship that aren't actually proper. And what Paul is writing, if you actually go and read in this context, he's trying to get us to understand that the proper expression of worship is now a lifestyle and not a location. It's about who you are as a being that is a declaration of worship. It's not about going to a temple anymore. It's not about attending church. It's not about putting a check in the mail. It's not about doing your duty. The proper expression of worship that he is now contending for the believer, you and I, to live with is one of a lifestyle. It's one of, Lord, I surrender, so where are we going? Lord, I surrender, what are you doing? Lord, I surrender, let's go. Because I believe there are times when God says, do you really want this? And it's a test of our heart. And yes, there's a hesitation at times. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I think I do. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God wells up within us, and we can say, let's go. It goes on to say, in verse 2 here, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is a double-edged sword that separates, it judges, it causes discernment to happen between the intents of the heart and the thoughts of the mind. Do not be conformed. This word conformed would be expressed if you took Play-Doh and you began to shape stuff out of it. The little video we watched, the modeling clay Jesus. You know, we conformed, we made a little Jesus and we put him in the manger there. We put a gummy bear there, something that conformed and looked like or was similar to, but was drastically insufficient. This idea of conforming is actually to be held in the hand of another. So let me ask you, who's holding you? Who's holding you and shaping you and conforming you? I can guarantee you, I am no counselor. There are gifted counselors in this room that have degrees, years of study, years of invested time. But in my 21 years of doing ministry, I've come to the simple conclusion. We all have daddy issues and everything goes back to a daddy issue. Good dads, bad dads, absent dads, abusive dads, it's all a dad issue. God ordained a unique anointing upon the role of a father. Because it is the image and likeness that he put upon men in that role that came right out of his heart. And that is not anything against women or demeaning towards women. It's just a reality that God made man and woman in his likeness and in his image. And in such a manner, the role of a man is eventually to be a father. Now, some of you are biological fathers, but everybody, every man in here is called to be a spiritual father. To operate in such a manner that the likeness of God the Father works in you and through you. To such a degree that those that do not have fathers, the fatherless, begin to recognize that's what a man's supposed to look like. That's what a home is supposed to be stewarded like. That's what love is supposed to be received like. Listen, I loved my mom. I lost my mom 13 years ago. I'm sorry, looking for a date somewhere 13 years ago. And my mom, her grace gift was not nurturing. She was an incredible woman. She wrote us good. She drew that line and made sure we walked that line. But by nature, you know, we stereotype women and go, oh, they're nurturers. My mom was not a nurturer in the emotional capacity. I can look back now and reconcile issues with my mom going, man, I missed out on being nurtured. But I realized she actually nurtured other things in my life. She nurtured a discipline. She nurtured a sense of entrepreneurial intrigue. Just go for it. Her famous line that we all grew up with is, nobody's going to do that for you, so you better get it done. Now, it's beautiful now because I have freedom, but for years it was a curse. Because what it drove into me was thinking that nobody else is capable but me. When we sat down after my mom passed away and we began to reflect and we all joked about this one phrase that mom always used, you know, nobody's going to do it for you, you better get it done. That was her way of motivating. None of my other siblings took it the way I took it. I took it as someone who's got to be independent and go after it. My youngest brother took it as just find someone else to do it. I mean, and he's not lazy by any means. He's a hard worker, but he had a totally different take on it. Nobody's going to do that for you, so get it done. Are you sure about that, Mom? I'm going to find somebody that's going to do it for me, and there I'll prove you wrong. And that was his posture. My older brothers, again, they're great. I love them, absolutely. Took it totally different. Nobody's going to do that for you. You better get it done. Does it need to get done? I don't think it even needs to get done. That's what I think, Mom. And my mom loved us all. None of us ever grew up thinking she didn't love us. But for years, I had this deep feeling that, Lord, I just missed out on the ooey-gooey nurturing. And then I realized the Lord is the nurturer. He brought me a woman, a wife, that is absolutely a nurturer. So we have three kids, and really she's raised four, right? I mean, she's had to complement and come alongside me in such a manner where those things that weren't put into my life as a young man, God's used that. Now, where we could get tripped up and where we've had to walk out our own deliverance is now I become dependent upon her to meet that need. And that's a problem. But this idea of do not be conformed requires us to understand the importance of being delivered out of the hands of that which is trying to conform you. And for some of you, it's your fathers, it's your mothers, it's your siblings, it's your past, it's the people you work with, it's your spouses. And I'm not talking about divorce. I'm talking about a dependency that is unhealthy. Do not be conformed, but be what? Be transformed. How? Say it again, how? So what does that even mean? Reading the word, changing your thinking, having a word, having a verse that stands at that point where thought and intent is separated. Having a promise, because if you throw that back up there, we'll look at the end of this. Then you will be able to test and prove what is God's will. See, then you will be able to test. Some of us don't even have a sword in our hand, a word in our hand, in order to test the tactics and schemes of the enemy. Man, I'd lie to you, I'd be lying to you if I told you I love it every time my wife points out the truth that I'm missing. Oh, thank you so much again for pointing out the truth that I'm missing right now, Jacqueline. I so appreciate that about you. No, I do, but I don't. And it's not because she doesn't love me and do it in a loving manner. It's because I've got this thought in my mind that I know the truth. I'm living by the truth. I'm advancing in truth. And all of a sudden, the revelation of, hey, Jeff, that's not exactly true. What do you mean it's not true? Well, this is what the word says. I know the word. Don't tell me what the word says. And I sit with the Lord and I look at it and I realize, oh, I've done some rationalizing with the word. I mean, I've made it fit me and I've missed actually what it means. I've let the word actually try to be a double-edged sword everywhere else, but where it needs to be so that I can have freedom. I can walk in grace. My wife, she asks me this question and I love this. What lie are you believing? Oh, I would never believe a lie. I can point out all lies. I can see all lies. I am capable of knowing the tactics and schemes of the enemy on every front of my life. That is a lie, right? That is absolutely a lie. Because if that was true, then I would not need Jesus Christ and I wouldn't need any other born-again believer in my life to help me. And yet, I still struggle believing, Lord, I can see it coming from wherever it's going to be. And therefore, somebody comes along and they want to help. Like, I don't need your help. I'm surrendered. Don't be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This ideal of renewal, renewing, it's actually the process of removing and replacing. So it isn't like just changing your oil. It's actually getting a new vehicle that has a whole different oil tank. God isn't just looking at you going, hey, you know what? Part of you is really good, so I'm just going to try and work with the parts. Listen, we were all born into sin. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And he knew that the vessel we had wasn't full. It wasn't complete. So what he actually does is that he makes us a new creation in Christ. He makes us new. Now, you might not feel new. Your joints might not look different. Your mind might still be stuttering and struggling. But that doesn't change the working word of God in our lives, that we are a new creation in Christ. So he didn't just come in and say, hey, let's just change a few parts. Let me give you a whole new vehicle, is what he said. Let me give you a whole new way of looking at your life. Let me give you a whole new way of how you operate. Are there things that we're familiar with from our past? Absolutely. Are there things that we're still struggling with, even though we're born again believers? Absolutely. But we are committed to stand in this posture of making a choice that takes ownership and recognizes I'm a new creation in Christ. And I'm no longer going to let the world hold me and conform me. I'm no longer going to let that memory hold me and conform me. I'm no longer going to let the absence of a dad or the absence of a nurturing mom hold me and conform me. I love them. I honor them. They did the best that they knew how to do. But Lord, I'm going to allow you and your spirit working through other people to be part of how I am transformed through the renewing of my mind. But I start by taking the initiative and say, Lord, show me your word. Teach me your word. One of the things that you can look back on and see in that loop there, and I'm going to close with this because we're going to take communion this morning, is that when we begin to rationalize things, we begin to believe that our position is the correct position. We begin to operate out of a mindset that where I'm standing is right and everything around me needs to change. That's the nature of rationalizing. That's the nature of that self-serving bias that goes, Lord, I'm right because my intentions are right and everything around me needs to change. And that is a tactic and scheme of the enemy that God knew so well that he came and he embodied humanity and became a position that didn't ask for everything around it to change, but changed himself. He took on the beating. He took on the scorn. He took on the shame. He took on the transgressions. He didn't push it off on anything else or anybody else, but he took a posture that said, atonement is going to flow from me. You and I cannot find atonement anywhere else. You and I cannot stand in the posture of atonement in such a manner that, Lord, through my works, through my suffering, through my sacrifice, there's atonement for everybody else. Only Jesus Christ can do that. We sang about that this morning. We saw a video about that this morning. We're about ready to take communion to remind us of that this morning. But what you and I need to also remember is that oftentimes the change that we need isn't out there. It's right here. The change that we desire to advance or find breakthrough doesn't need to happen all out there. It actually has to happen in here. Because if all I see is obstacles, then all I'm going to do is stand in front of an obstacle. But if I see open doors, then there is no obstacle that can hold me. If I see God moving in such a manner in someone else's life where there's healing, there's advancement, there's grace, there's power, and I think, Lord, I need to be like them, then I've missed out on what God really wants. And it's be like him. Be like Jesus, because that person is finding their open door, their advancement, their grace, their power, because they chose to look at Jesus Christ. So this morning, we're going to do communion in such a manner that I'm going to ask that you stay seated. And in a moment, I'm going to ask the ushers to get up, and they're going to pass communion down the aisles. And we're going to take communion right from our seats this morning. And so we're going to ask that everybody, you know, just wait to take it, because we're going to take it together. But while communion is being passed out and the time that it takes to pass it out, I want you thinking about who you're allowing to conform you. Whose hands are you currently sitting in that God would say, I'm your deliverer, let's get out of there. And that you would begin to specify the thought, the memory, the experience, the lie, in such a manner that it's visualized beyond just going, you know, I know my mom wasn't very nurturing and that's okay, I loved her, I love her. But actually go, you know what, Lord? Thank you for my mom. She did the best that she could do. And thank you for my wife who is doing the best that she knows how to do with me. But more importantly, Lord, conform my emotions. Nurture me in such a manner that, Lord, your likeness is in me and working through me. Maybe you have a sibling that you haven't talked to in months. We're coming into a season where we're supposed to be giving our time and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, show me right now how to move from someone that I haven't talked to, and I've allowed them to conform my life to where, Lord, the renewing of my mind is going to transform me, and all you're offering, I'm willing to call them, Lord. I'm willing to do something different and see something different. Some of you, it's money. Money is conforming you. Money is driving you. Money has shackled you to fear and shame and guilt. That maybe just take a moment and just go, Lord, what would my life look like if I was freed from the treasure of money on earth, from the shackles of the bills? Will they be gone tomorrow? I don't know. Could God miraculously provide for you today? Absolutely. But if he doesn't, there's still a renewing of the mind that you and I have to intentionally go after to be transformed. So ushers, would you come forward, please? Holy Spirit, I thank you that even right now, that you are specifically touching each and every one of us, ministering to us in such a manner that, Lord, you would bring to mind these areas that you want to transform through the renewing of our mind. Areas that we have been conformed to believe are true. Areas in our life that Lord, we are so set on this is familiar, this is the way, this is how it's done, that, Lord, maybe you want to undo it. Ushers, you can begin to pass the elements out. And I'm going to ask that you just hold them for just a moment. Look upon it. See the blood of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can offer atonement. Look upon the bread. His body was more than sufficient. He laid it down. Now you and I are called to be a living sacrifice. Lord, I ask for a revelation of the mercies of God. Your mercies, O Lord, that we'd have a new insight into how to view you and let you lead us. If you could throw that graph back up on the screen there for me. Come on, in view of God's mercies, what have you been ignoring that God wants to help bring deliverance and freedom in by recognizing it? What blame? What game have you been playing with yourself or maybe with others that really all we need to do is, Lord, forgive me, or ask for forgiveness or extend forgiveness? Come on, where is the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life being held up? Because again, we're caught in just rationalizing, trying to get us to be the center of the world, posturing ourselves in such a manner that everything orbits around us versus around Jesus. Around the working of his Spirit. Is there anybody here that hasn't been able to grab the elements, the cracker, the juice? Amen. What things have you been hiding, suppressing, burying, maybe for days, for years? Maybe it's a generational thing that the family just, we don't talk about that. We don't bring that up. Come on, this season, the month of December is so challenging for so many things. Let's take away the challenges and find the joy. Let's find the freedom that we've been singing about. Because we're willing to let the light shine into these areas. You're holding the light right there in your hands. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Come on, he chose to come and dwell amongst us. So in your own words, would you take a moment, and whether you mumble them under your breath or you just say it out of the nature of your heart, would you confess where you want that light to shine? That place of conformity that needs to now be transferred into the hands of Jesus so that the renewing of your mind can begin to transform. Thank you, Jesus, that right now you would shine your light upon this specific area. Thank you. And as he illuminates that area, take a moment. I'm setting you up for a week of adventure here. As he illuminates that area, he has all the ability, all the resources, all the love, all the grace to uproot that thing, to uproot that lie, to uproot that false belief, that pattern of living, that habit, that behavior, that generational curse, that identity issue that is truly not an eternal one. So with joy and expectation, just gaze upon it. Going, oh my gosh, Lord, forgive me. I've never seen that before. Thank you for your freedom, Lord. Thank you for the illumination. Thank you for the light. Thank you that, Lord, you can work all things together for good. Come on, because I am called according to your love, according to your good purposes. I pray that each and every one of you, as you hold communion in your hand, that communion is a statement of empowerment. You've been empowered as sons and daughters to walk in the liberty and the freedom of the Spirit. And whatever has been holding you down, whatever has been a thorn in your side, I pray that this morning you're finding freedom. You're finding liberty. In view of God's mercy right now, would you take that piece of bread representing his body and eat of it? Taste and see how good his mercies are. Taste and see how good his love is. Taste and see that he's your deliverer. Come on, we're setting ourselves up for deliverance, amen? And in the coming weeks, we'll find ourselves, I'm sure, just diving into this reality of deliverance even more. But go on a journey this week with the Lord and let him be your deliverer. Yes, receive his body. Receive his body that takes care of all the sin, all the sickness, all the disease. Now take that cup. And again, in view of God's mercies, in view of God's goodness, would you take his blood and drink of it this morning with an expectation that that revelation that you have of your freedom, of your deliverance, of your breakthrough has already been made available. The price for it has already been paid. His blood has been poured out so that you would no longer live as a victim, but live victoriously. That your freedom would be found today because you got yourself in a posture that says, I surrender, Lord. And in that surrenderance, his grace and his goodness picked us up and moved us over into a place where now the renewing of our mind, the act of faith, mercy and justice and righteousness, joy are abounding. This morning, the frontline ministry team is going to be made available. And as I join them this morning, just in their prayer time, a few things that I just want to share with you, and then I'm going to invite them up and I'll dismiss you all this morning. But if you're here this morning and you're looking for freedom, I want to invite you to come forward and receive prayer for freedom. Celebration and joy. Some of us are in need of love. Some of us may have been convicted this morning of what's it look like to love at a whole new level. The word renewal came out. This idea of being renewed, being made new again, but it's with all new resources. Tony here had the word rain, just that refreshing rain. Some of you may even be feeling it right now, just the Lord just washing over you. The word of God just washing you clean. Some of you just may need to get out in the rain. Lord, I need a good washing. Amen. So come and receive prayer and just let the Lord reign over you. The word replenishing. Come on, where are the coffers that have been emptied that the Lord would want to replenish? How many testimonies are you carrying that are from years ago? And God bless those testimonies from years ago. But do you have a testimony from yesterday? You have a testimony from just a couple days ago. What I loved about Sean's testimonies is that they were in the last couple weeks. Some of us are still using testimonies from years ago, and they're great. But why not have an encounter with the Lord today that becomes a testimony tomorrow? Why not walk into tomorrow with a testimony because of today? Let's replenish our testimonies with fresh experiences. Wellness, if you're here today, wellness is not just physical healing, but emotional healing, spiritual healing, mental healing. Come forward and find wellness. Be made well today. A word that came forth this morning that was discerned by Liz was deep sorrow. And I would encourage all of us in this room to just recognize the way she was discerning it was she actually felt it. Because she carries a gift of discernment and she's got a feeling gift. But if you're here and you've been walking through deep sorrow, come on, it's time. It's time to find that freedom. It's time to find that liberty. It's time to break free. It's time to let the Lord come in and rip out that deep sorrow and put love in its place. A type of love that radically changes our whole perspective of earth and heaven. I'm inviting you. I know I've kept you a little longer this morning, so you might have some place to be, but I'm inviting you to take the opportunity this morning and let your posture of I surrender actually have movement. And for some of us, yes, it'll be out the door and on to the next thing because that's responsible. But for others of us, it might just be standing up here with the prayer team. So with that, I'd like to invite the frontline ministry to come on up.